Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, happy Sunday. This is Chef Duario, and welcome to Foodomania meets Quarantinomania on this beautiful Sunday. And it's beautiful for a lot of reasons, because it is Sunday, and another day we're in the middle of just beginning to celebrate this great March 14th. Now, maybe you want to know why March 14th is a celebration. All right, I'll tell you. First thing that comes to mind for me, which is amazing, is today would be, today would be the 73rd anniversary of my parents' wedding. That's right, 73 years ago today in a little teeny, probably a little kosher hall in Brooklyn, New York. My mom, Shirley, better known as Sally Broder, married a man named Tobias Irving Glasser. And they became husband and wife. And I have to say they were, and they still are, because I think about them every day, the pretty much most incredible parents in so many ways. And definitely unique from, of course, from a Jewish European background. My dad was in the Army Air Force, as was known in those days, active in World War II. He spent most of his time during World War II in Burma. And I think about 2.5 years there, from what I remember correctly. He was an incredible guy. 7 brothers, 2 sisters, born and raised in Brooklyn, New York. Both parents passed away within a few years of each other. And I believe my dad was about 7 years old, 6 or 7, when his folks passed away. He was raised by his six brothers and 2 sisters. In the age span, I think my dad was next to the youngest, and the oldest was probably about a good, close to 10 years, I think, older. And maybe a little older than that. I'm not 100% sure, but between 10, maybe and 12, 13 years older. And that would have been my Aunt Betty. And then, of course, my Uncle Sam being the next, my Aunt Reese, I think, being the next. And then the twins, Lenny and Larry, Uncle Nat. Of course, the youngest brother, Uncle Pinky, and then Aunt Betty and Aunt Ruth. Incredible family. so many different directions that they all went in. I'll tell you a little bit more about that shortly.
Go down, Moses, way down in Egypt land. Let my people go.
Now, before I tell you too much about her, I'll just play a little bit of music that kind of is, I don't know, my mom, for the most part. There was an opposite side too, but here's a little something for her.
Side of life, but there's a bright and a sunny side. help us every day. It will brighten all the way if we'll keep on the sunny side of
introductory music of my mom. So Louis Armstrong for my dad, Sunny Side for some reason for my mom. I don't know. I was just thinking about that today. Now, I have to say that that specific song does not really totally represent my mom. She was, in fact, I don't think she, well, this is, we're talking about the real early days. This is probably pre-Hee-Haw and probably pro-Lawrence Welk. I don't know if Lawrence Welk might have had sort of a little country style tune on it, or maybe the Ed Sullivan Show, but I don't know if my mom in general ever listened to sort of, you know, Appalachian style, you know, bluegrassy kind of music. You know, but I'm sure she probably through the old TV shows, Milton Berle, this and that, there must have been a fiddle, pardon me, or a banjo coming through at some point in time. But for some reason, when this state comes, I always kind of think of my parents in different ways, but I always make it a sunny side memory. Of course, there are those days in between anniversaries that, you know, we're working out all those little things, but nothing, no song, no no period of time, no specific date can replace the absolute knowledge that I know of how much my folks love myself and my sister. And they always did the best they could for us and made things really special and also crazy. But there were lots of reasons for a while. And when I say crazy, maybe sometimes a little dramatic, et cetera. But, you know, growing up in the 50s in Brooklyn from an Orthodox Jewish background had certain kind of little roads and traditions that we traveled. The best is this food. As you know, of listening to my show for all this time, you know that there's a passion on Foodomania for food, and I have to credit directly to my grandmother, and who's my mother's mother, and my mom, and my mother's brother, Uncle Jim, who, by the way, I'll tell you a little bit about my mother's side of the family in a second. And of course, their combination of cooking, my Uncle Jim, my mother had two brothers, my Uncle Jim, my Uncle Nady. Nady was a custom peddler and a salesman. Custom peddler is a fellow that in those days would knock on doors and take orders for things like pots and pans. Actually, it was walking Amazon. And I mean that in the greatest way. And he was a very little guy, thin, about maybe 6 feet, but kind of thin. But he was a salesman. He'd knock on people's doors, and he'd have a regular route and regular customers. And I honestly think he loved that because the nature of him, he's in his own world. When he got a chance to get in that car and go door-to-door and drive around the different boroughs in New York, he was a free man. Of all the relatives, and we lost him several years ago, what was really amazing is that he would always fill me in over the years, even after I left Brooklyn and moved out west, whenever I did talk to him, which was a little bit more in the last years of his life and huge periods of time in between where I didn't speak at all. But when we did finally catch up, there were always incredible memories and stories and part of my history, I feel it. He was the first person that ever told me the word shit. Something like that. First curse word. My Uncle Jim, as I was just talking about, was a caterer. Basically, he was the sort of the fish baron, the salmon king of the Bronx, New York. He worked for a company called De Chapo, which was like a market chain, supermarket chain. And he turned me on to how to make certain things that I couldn't believe. Knishes for one. You know, we talked about knishes. I make those all the time still. He taught me how to do a platter, meaning how to lay out different meats in a nice platter, make it look really nice, how to make my first potato salads and coleslaws, how to garnish those platters. And I remember the sadness around, a lot of families get together, and sadly, sometimes the only times they really get together, especially as they get older, during funerals or things like that. He catered everything. Every time, our household was a kosher household for the most part. That means dairy and milk, separate plates, separate dishes, silverware. Except that in my house, we had three sets of dishes. See, our family lived above my grandmother. We always lived there. At least as long as I lived in that specific house, grandparents were always there. And at one point in time, great-parents and grandparents. And the third set of dishes was to cover things like Chinese food, Italian food, pizza, things like that, that my father would sneak in the back door and make sure that my grandmother was safe and sound in her little area. But those dishes, even though they were breaking kosher rules, meaning an occasional, maybe chicken parmesan sandwich or something like that, which, of course, you're mixing meat and dairy, you can't do it, would sneak through the door, a lasagna or meatballs, things like that, that weren't really kosher. In other words, kosher being food that was either butchered or prepared and blessed by a rabbi. That's the idea there. And the nicest and greatest thing was my uncle, who was the caterer, grocery guy, used to sneak us in like platters of shrimp, like beautiful giant shrimp, with cocktail sauce or things like that that weren't exactly, because there's also in the kosher laws there's a shellfish rule. So anything that's in any kind of fish that's in a shell is not edible. And I did a whole show on the kosher laws and differences and how those traditions got started, the idea of eating pork and in many cases where they don't. And it's a very interesting show. It's just go ahead and look it up in Blog Talk Radio archives under Foodomania. And it's something, you'll see something, Eastern European Traditions, I think it was called. So that was my, two uncles on my mother's side, told you about the brothers and sister on my father's side. To sum it all up, I have to say today is a special day for my mom and dad, who would have celebrated the 73rd anniversary. Now, let me tell you something that's really cool. I actually have movie film of not only their wedding, which happened in 1950 on this date. But in 1948, when they had their engagement party, the end of 1948, actually, they I had film of that too. So I could, and I have not too long ago working on this little family compilation of videos that I found in a box that I had hundreds of them. And over the pandemic was one of my projects of going through some of these videos and clipping off some of the footage and kind of making, thought I would make like a little, you know, something to watch at some point in time. And I've been working on that. But during those archive revivals, I stumbled across the anniversary party and their wedding. Now, their wedding is a little different, but there's a, it was in black and white, which was really unusual because the other stuff was really early color film. And this is 8mm, not super 8mm. And, wow, just incredible. Now, those films, which I still have a few of them, the original films, I, you know, they were transferred to videotapes, like I said, years and years ago, which now the videotapes are starting to disintegrate a little bit. So I've tried to digitize as much of that as possible. So anyway, that's just tell you about March 14th. Love you folks and hope you're having a good day wherever you are. Now, why is this date also important? For another reason, because my wonderful partner and friend, daughter, her name is Michaela, and Michaela's birthday is today, and she becomes 15. And of course, last year, just as they were planning her little get together with her friends, it was canceled because of the pandemic. And this year, she's having a one-on-one version of what she was going to do last year. They've gone away to a beautiful oceanfront cottage, I guess you'd call it, a beautiful place, and they're on the water as we speak, celebrating today, which is fantastic. So happy birthday, Michaela. So those two dates are significant as what today is. So happy all that. Happy birthday, Michaela. Already said happy anniversary. All right, I hope everybody's doing really good. A lot of things have changed since the last show. As far as my food service brothers and sisters out there and restaurant owners and bartenders and everybody that I've been dedicating these shows to for the last year, a little over a year. So, yeah, I guess this would be our beginning of the second year of the pandemic. I'm not going to get into, you know, I've kept that out unless certain shows were geared towards new information and things that were importantly helpful, but I've kept politics and kept the urgency of certain things out of this broadcast. But now, since things are changing really quickly, I know a lot of you out there have gotten, a little bit of relief, and some people I know who've gone back to work at part-time, some restaurants, maybe about 35% of them that I was associated with know have closed. And the few that remain are reopening in small ways. Right now, it's a 25% capacity. Some of the businesses have brought back a good amount of some of their people. And so, of course, some cases, some people don't want to go back to work for a few reasons. Of course, health if they have restricted health and they're still in a risk situation, then therefore, based on that, they still can't be in a quarters that are tight. I'm going to get into talking about where certain things are at as far as how people have to start, you know, continue to hopefully behave, terrible word, but continue to participate in this thing called life with respect not only to other people, but themselves and family members, and of course, the rest of the country. You know, it's almost like a dog chasing its tail in a lot of ways. Keep going in a circle. The energy is happening. We keep moving. But sometimes it feels like, you know, and especially when you're getting dosed with so much different information and so many opinions. And, of course, the real battle of the opposing opinions really going all out since the election to try to discredit what scientists have absolutely found to be the most helpful way of getting our lives back in a certain sense and getting things under control. It's all combined with people who have not been able to receive any kind of benefit money for months and months and months, and the ones that are still waiting for unemployment claims to be fulfilled, which in some cases many are still not fulfilled, and it's been months and months. Now, there is a procedure, because I recently helped a good friend of mine. It took a couple of hours of time to go through his claim to find the right time where we could actually get through on the phone, and there's ways to do that. You have to just have patience. And then to really get caught up. Now, some people say, well, I have some savings. I'll get it at some point in time. If you technically are owed or have had to face yourself out of work, and even though your bank account might have been okay to continue to pay your rent and cover things for the family, there are some people that, for some reason, they gave up with trying to see if there are any benefits available for them. Countless shows I've done over the last year on just talking about the updates, the benefit information, what's available, ways you can go through it online. I know people have had listened to that and followed some of those really good ideas, because I've gotten tens and twenties and thirties of emails just responding to the information I tried to give you on the show. So let's talk about this for a few more minutes here. If in fact you have not selected your email yet, or having unemployment, and are having problems getting through, but you know, now you're down to your savings being really low and you really are getting up against the wall, there's a way to give yourself a break. And by spending a little time recently with a friend of mine, going through his claim, making sure all his every week's claims were filed, because he stopped filing about long enough to kind of put his claim in suspended animation, just kind of gave up because he was working, trying to start his new business. But he was still, literally 35 or 40 weeks of unemployment. This guy worked so hard for so many years. So after a couple of hours, like I said, we went through it. We got things caught up. Then we wrote a letter and to appeal his case, because the claim had kind of since, gone to sleep. But on the books, 2 or 33 weeks of filings were there on his record by doing it online. So we just kind of revived everything, went through everything, was able to get a hearing. But now something happened, and when he tried to call on the phone to do the phone hearing, things happened and he couldn't get on. And by the time he was able to get on, 20 minutes or 25 minutes from the hearing time had passed, and he couldn't get through. And so then when he finally called, they had to say, okay, we're going to send you some papers, and when you get the papers, fill them out and get them back as possible. The papers were appeal papers again to state an explanation of why he didn't get on the phone. And I helped him with that because English is a second language, and we wrote an appeals letter. He finally got a response within literally a few days to a week, and was able to schedule a new hearing. I agreed to help him with that hearing so I could be a witness and try to explain a few things to him. And we talked about how we were going to approach it, and we did a hearing. And by the way, the scale of the hearing was going really well, and then it went really downhill because of language difficulties, of understanding certain terminology. And they were gracious enough to let me step in and ask the questions for him and clarify. And by the time we got through it, they decided to okay his disqualify him and accepted his information. And we didn't know. They said they would let us know. They'd make a decision and he'd be notified. Within the next week, he was notified that they accepted it. And they were going to go ahead and start the procedure to try to get him caught up. Now, it took about another month. But within about 2 months, he was able to get about 17 to 24 weeks of back things. And in his case, it was several thousands of dollars. And it pretty much just invigorated his life. Now, I've also done the same thing with a couple other people, too. Now, presently, thank goodness this pandemic relief plan has gone through. And therefore, for people who are still on unemployment, they'll be able to continue collecting, hopefully, in most cases. And it'll be extended, supposedly, literally till the beginning of the end of the summer. beginning of September, I think, which is enough time to hopefully for things to get in good shape. And maybe all of us, you know, and many of us will be able to go back to work full time. But in the meantime, we'll still be able to collect extended benefits. So I encourage you if, you know, I hardly can know anybody that's been ignoring this if they're still collecting unemployment. But there's some people who kind of maybe figured out other ways to do things and just got part-time work and stopped filing. I have a couple of people who just refused to file, even though they can really use the money. And I think for some reason they didn't really understand how for so many years they've been working and their, you know, funds have been being taken out of their account. You know, every time they get their paycheck, there are deductions that they've been sort of paying into their unemployment in a sense, and most employers keeping up with what they have to do so that therefore they can protect their employees. So I understand there's a pride factor, totally. And I really just encourage you to see, get a little more information, understand how it works so you can go ahead and do it. Now, the other part of the pride factor and the non-knowledge and the fear factor is connected to where we stand in front of us right now. I'm not going to talk about whether or not you should or should not take a vaccine. In full disclosure, I've actually had my first shot. I have another one. The second one comes pretty soon. I've never had a flu shot. I've been, for the most part, really healthy in my life, but I am in that age range and have certain conditions that, God forbid, in the sense of getting the coronavirus, for me, would be a little bit more difficult, according to science, that, you know, having weakened lungs being the age category I'm at and other conditions at this point in time. You know, I'm great health, by the way, and I'm doing good, but, you know, there are certain things that would be triggered. And there are many people I know like that. But there's also, for the most part, a lot of people that I know in my age category, a little bit younger, but, you know, I'm giving my true age, but, you know, but I'm 70. And group of people has been expanded a little bit to get in that category. And then, of course, they're making predictions that they're going to be able to literally have enough possibility of vaccinations for anybody 18 and over by the 1st of May. Okay, the point I'm trying to make is this. Hopefully this vaccine will do what it needs to do. Hopefully anybody out there that wants to be vaccinated will be able to be, and there will be enough supply for you to get this vaccination. That's only half of the issue, though, folks. As you know, probably a lot of states in the United States right now are just lifting all their restrictions and just going full bore out. And then, there's that attitude that starts happening where, you know, it was all hype. And I honestly can't understand. I can understand. But I really can't understand in this age of information how so much bullshit gets in our hands and our kids' hands. And I'm not talking about the real, you know, the hurtful and dangerous stuff. I'm talking about just the general conversation. I heard one of a friend's daughter and son the other day, and they were having a conversation telling us about a friend of theirs. And just the information that certain people are absorbing when it comes to this procedure of a vaccination. A good friend said this to me, Stuart. I said, you know, I have different feelings about it, and I can understand. He said, okay, how many, when you woke up this morning, how many cases of new polio cases have you heard of? I said, what? And basically what he was trying to say is that, you know, even in my age, and he said that's because the whole polio was an issue when I was born. And was for the first 4 or 5 years of my life before the vaccine finally came for polio. But people were getting it. And it was debilitating and destructing, you know, so many people's lives for so many different reasons. He used that as sort of a metaphor or something just to say, to pass on the information that it's probably a better idea. I certainly kind of, it would be nice if there was a year go by where we put a freeze on everything till they got every single complete possibility as far as science and the vaccine determined and thought out and understood to give everybody 100% feeling that it would be okay. And then take that against the fact that we have no time to dilly-dally around on this thing anymore. So whatever your status is, if you decide to do it, read up on it, ask questions about it, if you make the decision. It seems to be, without them saying it 100%, because even though they're being straightforward and giving us most of the stuff, you also know from experience that it's usually a prequel in some cases to things could get to things are getting. And the other part of this is the full blown new variants of this are also a little bit scary. So I'm not climbing into the dark hole here, okay? This is something that when we update things on Pneumonia means quarantine, and many we talk about. There is some hope in that degree, and I hope everybody could feel that. The other thing I was talking about when it came to just mentioning unemployment and money is that some people literally today have woke up to some money in their bank account. Most people, it will probably take another 3 to 5 weeks or so, but you should be getting that stimulus money. And if you're on unemployment, which is scheduled, today is the last day. Yesterday was the last day. It technically ran out. And from what I've been told by the unemployment services is that hopefully it's seamless and everything is in motion. So therefore, people who depend on it weekly or biweekly will continue to get it if they still have benefits left. And most of us should, and most of you should. How I got into that whole area of conversation. One thing I say to finish up this little conversation is this. Quit farting around with not wearing the masks, everybody. It's so important. And I'm happy to say that in the general vicinity of my territory and where I live in this part of the country, in the Pacific Northwest, and in the state of Washington, for the most part, people are totally following it. And by the way, as they're walking down the street with their masks, they're telling jokes, they're laughing, they're existing, you know? And then you're going to hear about the occasional customer that's not going to be served and talked to if they don't put a mask on. And God bless those people. But stick to your guns, retail shop owners and people who are in the field working. Now, new news, as you know, as of March 22nd, Phase 3 is going to go into effect in Washington State for the most part on numbers and cases. But as of right now, things even continue the way they've been going, then restaurants will go to 50%. And that means possibly increased staff and increased revenue for the restaurants. That said, even at 25% and doing my little checking, going invisible out into the field a little bit, most people are really following these rules pretty good, but not all of them. I noticed a huge line at one place that I know of. Customers inside, there were probably, should have been nobody waiting in the waiting area, but it was full. And outside, they had a nice little area for people to sit. And I still noticed groups of people together. Now, supposedly, it should be maximum tables of 5 from the same household. I don't know about those details and how these people are following that. But I guess what I'm saying is don't put your guard down, folks. If you go to a restaurant, keep your mask on until it's time to eat, okay? And then when you're done with your meal, put your mask back on and continue your conversation. It's okay. And especially if you get up and go to the bathroom and go outside to smoke or whatever you decide to do. Keep the mask going, folks. And do not confront somebody who's not wearing a mask. You have the choice of walking out of the business or moving away, but you have to kind of, it's great that certain things that, have been revealed to us that certain people are going to completely freak out if you even look at them funny as far as a mask is concerned. And those of you that are doing jokes, which a lot, I keep hearing people out there in the world that are actually cracking jokes when it comes to masks. And stupidity, and however you want to put it, don't like it. And I'm hoping that some people can actually wise up when it comes to that. It's not a thing to make fun of at this point in time. It's something to really respect and just do it, especially for the next couple of months. All right, enough of that. That's all I'm going to say about all that great stuff. And we want to talk a little bit about some new music and some new cool food ideas that I thought were incredible. I had something really delicious the other day, and I thought, wow, you know, English muffins or crumpets, but I like English muffins. And by the way, I haven't seen too many crumpets lately. Certain companies that used to make crumpets are just, they're really hard, getting harder to find. Crumpet to me is kind of like a one-sided English muffin, a little bit more doughier, but delicious, never the same. And I actually had to make some crumpets because I couldn't find any. I have an incredible cooking resource that tells you, you know, in your area where you might find certain products. And for the most part, most people could do that, but this thing is really specific. And it breaks down inventories of most of the major markets in complete order. Not only that, provides a barcode. That was very cool. So I could just sit here and close my eyes and say, for Ida, freeze-dried onion rings. Say it with Siri. Boom, there it is. Four different stores and price codes for each one. Okay, anyway, so in talking about that and just talking about food, I was thinking about English muffins the other day, and I had something that was just really, really great, and somebody made some lunch, and beautiful eggplant parmesan English muffin. It was the greatest thing. So basically, wood fired the eggplant parm. Took about 7 minutes altogether. And then gently toasted in the same wood fire for literally about 8 seconds on each side with a little garlic butter, a couple English muffins, and then served the parmesan almost like a parmesan Benedict. That's the best way I could describe it, because it was an open face on the English muffins. And I'll tell you what, the crunch. Now, in this eggplant parmesan, it basically just lightly sautéed, lightly floured eggplant, not deep fried, not coated, and baked. Just melt in your mouth, deliciousness. Fresh buffalo mozzarella, a little bit of Holmen mozzarella, Parmigiano Reggio, all that great ingredients. Fresh spinach in the layer, some larger cremini mushrooms sliced about a quarter of an inch thick, so I could pre-saute them and give them a little crisp, and had a beautiful casserole there, and then just served it open face on a garlic-buttered, wood-fired English muffin. I was trying to come up with a good name, like egg parm, McEgg parm muffin or something like that. If you guys, anybody can think of a good name for that sandwich, I'd appreciate it very, very much. All right, in the Pacific Northwest right now, we're getting some wind, a little bit of rain. But let's talk about the people a little bit east of us right now in Colorado and that sort of area, having a really huge, really scary weather event that is going to affect a lot of people and already is really quickly. And we want to just hope that people, no question about it, you know, are of course aware of that and realize how a lot of things are going to be happening when it comes time to, you know, be traveling or getting on the road. You know what those a lot of things are? Nothing. There's not going to be anything. They're calling it a polar flow snow or a heavy snow, a severe outbreak, a major winter storm, a blizzard. Okay, so you have a blizzard, you have high winds, and you have tornadoes in that snow coming out of nowhere. Very, very severe weather. And so really hoping that you know, the general safety factors in place, people may lose power, and they did, were able to warn people way in advance. So rain, wind, a little stirriness here, slightly warmer temperatures in the Pacific Northwest. As we get a little bit more east, we're looking at some stormy stuff going on. I mean, it was in the 60s in Manhattan the day before yesterday. So, you know, weather changing, that little last burst of winter in certain places. So if everybody is safe, I have a couple of listeners in the Carrie Storm vicinity. So all you friends and Pudomaniacs, please be careful out there. All right? Try that eggplant parmesan English muffin. I think it'll be really, really, really good. All right, a little bit of music. So, you know, I am constantly working on music of my own. And I used the last year to really, since I had to do a lot of home stuff, to really, really spend a lot of time on pieces that I've been working on for a while. And I'm fairly excited about it. And if you've seen some of the posts, Quarantine and Mania is just starting to, you know, it's pretty much, and you'll be hearing snippets of Quarantine and Mania pretty much beginning at midnight tonight and also through this week. And look for new music by us and me that I think you'll really, really enjoy. Some really good pieces and also some really good little videos, just little snippets. Those are up already. You can see those at Pudomania, just for us, Pudomania. And appreciate any feedback or anybody that wants to tell me what you think. There'll be an official release, and you will be able to get your hands on this music. And also remember that 50%. 50 of every penny generated from Quarantine and Mania Project is going to an organization which is just really right around the corner. It's Skagit Valley Food Banks. Two of them specifically that I'll be donating 50% of the funds to. And because I think food is, you know, that's the best thing we can do right now. We're going to have a pop-up soup event happening pretty soon, too. That'll be in the middle of April, about a month from today. It's going to be a pop-up soup event. Started out that I just felt like using these soup warmers and this little, you know, Knish food cart that I have to get a one-day permit to just be able to offer bowls of soup and wood-fired bread to people out there who are hungry and needed it. And some people said, sure, if you do that, it's really going to get a little crazy. So I figured I'll just center it around possibly the first main farmer's market and do the Chef Duardo's Supermania for one day. Look for the term iSoup, it's I-S-O-U-P, coming up pretty soon on Foodmania to see how you can get involved. By the way, point being that I was going to do it myself. I talked to a couple other people, and I got three restaurants on board for the Soup Fest. Basically, every bowl of soup is going to have a specific, you know, cost, all the same. And then I got everybody to donate 50% of the profit that day. 50%. Usually it's 10% or 15%, but this is going to be half. So that's basically just going to cover the cost of the labor and the materials. And there'll be probably, let's put it this way, as many people that can participate, there'll probably be, I know for a fact right now, there'll be at least six different kinds of soup. And I'm hoping for more. I'll let you know more about it. Also, the month of April, the Chef Stuardo's Foodomaniac Zoom cooking classes will begin. It's 3 weeks, but it's a four-week series, the first one. And I'd love people to sign up. Basically, do it from your own kitchen. I send you the class information in advance so you can prepare and get the things you need for the class. It's a one-shot rate. And that keeps the program going, and you can participate in that. We can have a lot of people in that class. Just recently did one. I had 32 participants. That was fantastic. Right from my kitchen, it was a two-hour class, and that was just to some of the Foodomania sign-up people. And you can sign up yourself just by liking Chef Gerardo's Foodomania and get an immediate bulletin without doing anything on your social media. So these are things I'm trying to create and trying to produce, try to make happen that I know I can do. Not having to literally pretty much depend on anybody else, these are little programs and things that I've put together, getting the ball rolling, and of course I have some wonderful people helping me and some volunteers. But I'm really happy that some people are benefiting in some way from it. A little bit of job posting boards. There's several jobs in the Skagit Valley right now in food land. So I encourage you to check the Help Wanted. Facebook has a fairly decent Help Wanted. Of course, the Craigslist Help Wanted are helpful. You can contact people directly when you go through the services, the job employment services, remember that that costs a little bit, but they're still very helpful. So all of us people out there in our food business, let's help, keep helping each other to try to get people back to work, to put less strain on the system. It'll allow funding hopefully to be available to somebody else who might be losing their job for other reasons other than restaurants closing. Daycare and taking care of children, big reason. This is a period of time where we really need to continue to help each other and participate with each other to make everybody stay better. And we're doing it. There's so many great stories. There's so many things when I run into other people that they tell me about they're doing and things that are happening. Some of the ideas that we talked about a year ago, I listened to the show from 1 year ago today, and we were talking about porch concerts. We were talking about, you know, going outside on your porch and maybe playing guitar or something for neighbors. This was at the really early parts of where we still didn't have a lot of information by March 14th of last year. But we knew that we were in isolation, and we knew that we weren't supposed to be able to come in contact with anybody else. Households were supposed to separate. Schools became closed. Toilet paper became the commodity. You know, you've probably come across the one-year anniversary talks and specials news-wise, and everybody's talking about it on every show. Remember 1 year today? Well, you know, so much good stuff has happened in the last year. One of the best things that's happened is we understand what we can possibly do at this point in time to at least do our parts, right? I'll be right back.
Well, St. Patrick's Day is around the corner, and it's probably a good time to have a little bit of an idea of something you can serve. Now, of course, you're going to have the corned beef and cabbage and the potatoes and the carrots and all that stuff, maybe a little soda bread. So I'll give you something to add to it. Here's a really good recipe. It's called parsnip and apple porridge or parsnip and apple soup. Here's what you need. It is so delicious. Take 3 parsnips and about 6 apples. I like to use the pink ladies or something a bit tart. I would slice those and peel them really well and take the core out, cut them in small pieces. Take a half a stick of butter and put it in a pan and gently saute your parsnips and your apples together. At this point, add about 1/4 cup of nicely diced sweet onions and saute them and let them cook all together. They'll get soft in about 5 or 10 minutes. You're going to add 2 cups of nice vegetable broth to the mix. A little bit of salt and pepper, a little teeny sprinkle of curry powder, a little bit of coriander, and continue cooking them. They'll start to mush down a little bit. Take it off the heat, put it into a blender or a food processor, and puree it really nicely. Put it back in the pan, add 1/2 cup to 1 cup of cream, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of nutmeg. Stir it really well, keep it at a really nice low flame, and there you have it, parsnip and apple porridge. It'll warm the tummy and get you prepared for all the rest of the nice things you're going to eat. Oh, it reminds me of the old days with my friends Sean and Janie back in Kilkenny. Well, all I can tell you is, this is Chef Stuardo with another Cooking Minute. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Hey, let's eat.
All right. Well, we're getting close to the end of the show. Glad you guys are all here with me today. There's so much going on out there weather-wise, so be real careful in your exploits. Batten down the hatches a little bit. People in the zone of this Arctic snowy kind of storm, please do the best you can to be safe and be careful. All right. I wanted to say that if you want to get in touch with me, best way to do this, write me an email. And you can write me at Chef Stuardo, that's C-H-E-F as in Frank, S as in Sam, T-U-A-R-T-O, at hotmail.com. You can also send me a message via the Blog Talk Radio. So if you go to blogtalkradio.com/Jeff Huerta, whole world will open up to you as far as Food and Mania shows and information and some links that might be helpful to you. A lot of people also can go to 1020radio.net just to check out some of the radio studio information that we have here. Just some really good stuff going on in everybody's lives. I keep hearing people are, first of all, when the weather changes, you can get outside and you can do your stuff and really absolutely have a chance to put your hands in the dirt, get your birdhouses in the right place, do a little trimming, move your bench, take off your tarps in some cases, spread out the things in your nice yard, and just get ready to spend a little time in your garden. And, you know, opening the garden up shows will happen this week. If you haven't heard them before, you can go to, pardon me, blogtalkradio.com/Jeff Huerta and listen to opening, you know, your garden's awakening shows, or putting your garden to bed and coming back and opening it up again. There's several shows with guest host Rhonda E. telling you really good tips on how to take care of your beautiful place and get it going. Really good year this year. We'll do several shows on that. We'll have a pizza cooking segment in the cooking class, by the way. So the Zoom cooking class, we're actually going to be out in my garden, though not much will be coming in by the time we actually do the class, which isn't. The pizza class is actually the first week in May, so good possibility for at least fresh basil and a couple other herbs and stuff that we can pick together during the class. So that's something to look forward to. All right, write me if you're interested in any of this stuff. Just send me a message and I'll hook you up with all the stuff. I hope you guys have a good Sunday. Happy birthday, Michaela. Happy anniversary, Irene and Sal. Anybody else that's celebrating a birthday today for any reason whatsoever, happy birthday and happy celebration. Happy anniversary to you. Thank you for continuing to report me. thank you for continuing to report me in good standing, of course, to some of your comments and some of your positive reports and things that you've said have really meant a lot to me and also to our listeners. And thank you. I continue to be a featured chef now on Blog Talk Radio, which I have no idea how that's happening. I guess it means because I have some people that hopefully are taking advantage of Foodomania, listening and being part of the show. All right, I'll be back. See you this week. You'll know when I'm on by getting your little blip because you liked it. And you'll also receive probably something on Facebook. All right, adios. Jeff Huerta saying, take it easy. Thank you.